Nastia Lukin joins us on Sports Byline USA. If you know anything about gymnastics, you certainly do know that name. In 2008, she was the Olympic individual all-around champion. She is also a world champion on the balance beam and also a world champion on the uneven bars. And she also ended up with 5 medals at the Beijing Olympic Games. I'm going to take you back because I always like understanding where somebody came from. And you mentioned to me that you started competing at 6 years old but started doing gymnastics at 3 years old. Tell me a little bit about the motivation, aside from the fact we'll get into your family in just a second. But what about the motivation for you, Nastia?
You know, for me, gymnastics was something that I just loved to do at such an early age. And I think once you find a passion for something in life, then that's the kind of route that you obviously want to take. And that's what gymnastics was for me. I never thought of it as becoming a career. I never thought about it as becoming a job eventually. You know, I did it because I purely loved it. And that's how it's always been ever since I was really young, ever since I was 6 years old. That joy of competing for me has, you know, maintained throughout the years. And I think that that's so important in anything you do, whether it's a sport or, you know, a job or a career. You have to enjoy doing what you do. And my parents have always taught me that the minute that, you know, you lose a passion for something and or, you know, kids always ask me, like, how do you not get nervous at competitions? And for me, my dad's always taught me that nerves are good. You know, the minute that you're not nervous is the minute that you don't care about it and you shouldn't be doing it. And so that's kind of the way that I've always maintained the love for the sport is, you know, keep it on a daily basis. Keep those goals and you know, strive to achieve something.
Well, you know as well as I do, when most six-year-olds go to school, they're not thinking about competition. They're thinking about whether they got a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a bologna.
Right, exactly.
I mean, that's out of the norm, would you agree?
Looking back at it now, yes. At the time, I remember I was ready to compete when I was 5. I just wanted to get out there. I wanted to have the competition leotard like the older girls had. You know, I wanted to do everything that the older girls did. And that's really how it got started. You know, my parents all of a sudden saw me doing like little skills that they were teaching their team girls. And all of a sudden I was doing it better without any coaching or, you know, any spot or anything. And they all of a sudden said, okay, well, I guess she does have a little bit of a talent and she obviously loves it. So we can't, you know, take that away from her.
The fact that both your parents were world champion gymnasts, do you think it's in the gene pool that that's why it's a little bit more natural for you than it would be for anybody else?
I definitely think that it was in my genes. My dad, you know, being an Olympic champion in 88, my mom was a world champion in rhythmic gymnastics. So I do feel like I had the best of both worlds. I had the grace and the artistry and that stuff from my mom. But then I'm a complete copy of my dad in personality wise. You know, we're both perfectionists and we'll go after something until we get it and we'll never give up on it. And just very strong headed. And I think that's what has gotten us to where we are today, because he's my coach and has coached me since I was about 8 years old. And but I do think a lot of it has to do with hard work, because you can't rely on, you know, any amount of talent. Of course, it does help you if you're, you know, genetically talented and that does help. But I think at the end of the day, if you don't want something, then you know, you really can't achieve it unless you give it your all every day.
I don't know whether you're the exception or the rule, because you've heard the war stories, obviously, about the tennis prodigies, the swimming prodigies, mm-hmm. the gymnastic prodigies, and how there's the burnout factor and, you know, you lose your enthusiasm right. for it. You have not done that. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think up until 2008, I had this goal. Ever since I knew what the word Olympic Games meant, I always wanted to go. I always wanted to be part of it. I had so many of my parents' friends that, you know, were gymnasts and other skaters and other people that were in my life that were Olympic champions or that had participated in the Olympics and were Olympians. And ever since I can remember, I've always wanted to do that. And so it was just like that big goal in the back of my mind that I knew I wasn't going to give up until I had achieved that. And that's exactly what I did up until 2008. And of course, after that, I did take a break. I took a few years off. And I think that, you know, that has what has given me that passion and that love for the sport. Again, not that I lost it, but I truly believe that I needed a little bit of a break, both mentally, because if I would have kept going, you're right. You know, it's almost inevitable to keep from burning out for so many years and working 7 hours a day, 6 days a week, you know, starting at such an early age.
How did you keep balance in your life? Because that is so important. Any athlete, highly skilled athlete I've talked to says they've got to have that balance in their life.
Oh, for sure. You know, I think a lot of people are homeschooled in the sport of gymnastics and many other sports. But for me, that was never really an option. I always wanted to go to school, whether it was public school or private school. I went to public school up until I was fourth grade, and then I started private school. So I trained 8 to 12, went to school 12:30 to 3:30, till 3, went back to the gym 3:30 to 6:30. And that was kind of my schedule ever since I was in fifth grade. And it was all that I knew. And so, but I loved being able to leave the gym, kind of turn my mind off, you know, change out of my leotard, you know, get into clothes and go to school and have something that was, you know, a little bit different. Yeah, I went to school with a lot of my teammates, but at the same time, there was other athletes, there was other people there that, you know, you didn't see for 7 hours a day. And I think that's kind of what kept me normal. And of course, with my parents, it was hard to maybe get away from the gym because, you know, they're coaches, they own 3 gyms in the Dallas area. But at the same time, they did such a good job at, you know, giving me a normal life. And, you know, on the weekends, you know, we try not to talk about gymnastics. We would do other things. And but as much as we try to keep gymnastics off of like the dinner table conversation, it was kind of hard because it's like it becomes your life and it becomes something that's kind of all you know for so many years.
Any other brothers and sisters in the
no.
family?
Oh, yes.
I can
the
see
only
what
child.
The dinner chat is like at your
oh,
house.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah, and I've always said, though, between their 3 gyms, they have about 3,000 kids. So I've always had brothers and sisters and siblings and everything. But, yes, gymnastics definitely played, you know, a big part of our life.
In relationships, were you able to have normal relationships with other friends, or did they not understand the world that you were playing in?
Well, for so many years, most of my closest friends were all gymnasts, and, you know, that's all I knew. And so then after the Olympics and after, you know, I graduated high school in 2007, so I took that year off to really focus on training, and that was very, like, a very dedicated year towards the Olympic Games and myself and training and everything. And so then after that, it was kind of nice to venture out and meet new people and make new friends and, you know, make new relationships that you've never really had the chance to do and travel the world and see different things and everything. So I think that from, you know, I've grown up more these past 4 years than I have, like, my 22 years combined, just because I've just done something different than train 7 hours a day.
I'm going to share with you an analogy with John McEnroe, the great tennis mm-hmm. player, because I think that there's a similarity here for all highly skilled athletes. And I remember John telling me that before he got married and had kids, that the only thing he thought about when he was on the tennis court was strictly tennis.
Yeah.
But once he got married, once he got a little bit older, right. had kids, he said, I would find myself in the middle of a point after the point was over thinking, well, I wonder if my youngest is going to be healthy enough to travel here or there and everything else. Is that a discipline? Does that kind of seep into one's life, an athlete's life, when they get a little bit older, start thinking about the bigger world around them?
Oh, I definitely think so. And, of course, you know, I can't compare exactly to that quite yet with being married and having kids. But even now, being older and being more involved in my business side of my career and my life and knowing about, you know, sponsorships and everything that I'm kind of obligated to do, that definitely is hard to keep out of the gym because, you know, you're just standing there getting chalk before going on the bars and you're all of a sudden thinking, all right, you know, what conference call do I have today? Which interview do I have today? So it's, you know, it's a little bit of a different mindset than, say, it was 4 years ago where, you know, my agents and managers and publicists, of course, keep track of that. But now I'm much more involved in my life outside the gymnastics, the training.
Is time management then the key thing for you?
I think so. Yeah. And I think that I have learned so much of it over just these past 4 years and traveling so much where you wake up in a different city every day and you're thinking, where am I and what am I doing today? And I think I also missed that daily grind of being in the gym and feeling accomplished after a long day of training.
What's the hardest part of once becoming a champion? I mean, an Olympic champion, mm-hmm. because all of a sudden that's like being a Heisman Trophy winner or a world champion in right. any other sport. All of a sudden you fall into a different category.
You definitely do. And I don't think anything can prepare you for that or set you up for it because it's kind of like it hits you on the side of the head and it's just like, all right, like here you are, you know, and all of a sudden people want to know about your personal life and who you're dating, who you're seen with, like all that kind of stuff. And I was always like, you know, I never signed up for that. You know, I just did gymnastics because I loved it. I don't want people in my personal life. But I think you have to realize that once you become, you know, some kind of, you know, an Olympic figure and you're in the spotlight a little bit, then people obviously are curious about that.
Would you like to announce here on my show when you're going to be on Dancing with the Stars?
I just got asked that last time. That's funny. It's a fun show. I've had a few really good friends on it and they have done, you know, extremely well. And I think it's fun, but I don't know.
You know, when you take a look, we have a minute before we have to break here, Nastia, but when you take a look at Olympic athletes, what is the one thing that really labels them? What is it that they all do that makes them what they are?
I truly believe it's the dedication. And I think that that's why so many Olympic athletes, like, we can meet for the first time, but you have, like, this automatic bond, and you have, like, this understanding for each other and this respect for each other. Because whether, you know, you're doing a sport like swimming or gymnastics, track and field or skating or whatever it is that you're doing, you know the amount of dedication that it takes to be the best of the best in what you do. And, you know, you can compare every single sport, but at the end of the day, it's the dedication that it takes. It's whether you're training 2 hours a day or 7 hours a day. It's not just the training in the gym, in the gym or the rink or, you know, the pool, whatever you're doing. I think it's also, it's your lifestyle. You know, you have to kind of adjust your whole life to that. And I think after 2008, having a little bit of a different lifestyle and then getting back into that now, it was a major adjustment because, you know, you have to go to sleep at a good time. And now all your friends are asking you to go out or go out to dinner on a Friday night. And you're like, you know, I can't. I have training at 8 a.m. on Saturday. And so it's things like that that I think athletes have like a common understanding for each other with.
Nastia Lukin is with us in the studio, Olympic champion. We'll continue talking about her career, her life, and her family. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.